Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And guys, we are recording at Spotify Studios today in New York City.
Woo!
We are so excited about this. We have not shared it with anyone yet, but we have recently partnered with Spotify. And so that's why we're here recording in their studios. And so this is like a huge milestone in kind of our podcasting careers and for this podcast. And so, yeah, it's just been really exciting to see like where this podcast can go. And I think Deep D and I just want to take this time to thank all of you guys again, all of our listeners, our little community that we created that is growing every day, for just like tuning in, listening, giving us advice, providing questions for us, challenging us when necessary, because it's been really, really fun. And also, I just want to tell you, Deep D, like, I am so glad that you are my co-host and my partner in all of this.
That's so sweet.
Like, when we decided to just like launch this for fun, this podcast for fun, I would have never like just guessed at all the things we could have achieved with this. But also, I'm so glad that it's just been you. Like,
I know.
You know, like, I'm so glad that you have been my partner in this, because I definitely couldn't have done this alone or with anyone else.
Aw, thank you. Oh, you guys, she's actually tearing up.
I take everything back.
No, that was really sweet. And I think we've talked about this before. Like, it's been such a journey that we've been on, and it hasn't always been easy, but to have you by my side and, you know, to just have like someone to like cope with and also just like be creative with and create this community with, I think it's been so special that it's been you. And, you know, we haven't always like started off close, you know, and so for us to grow this podcast and even us like personally, our friendship, I think it's been such a beautiful thing.
I know.
It's so crazy that we are here. Yeah. Like, it's awesome.
I know. So, well, thank you guys again, all of you guys listening, because without you guys, we wouldn't be here sitting in a Spotify studio today and having this partnership with them. We're also really excited to share some exciting things that are coming our way. Like, we're dying to share it with you. So, stay tuned.
Yeah. So many things on the horizon.
Yes.
And I just love being in a studio with you. I feel like it's such a better vibe. Like, I can see your face. I can make fun of you easier.
Please.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. There's not that much to make fun of.
Oh, please.
That was a lie.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
Maury says that's a lie.
Let's talk about what you were saying to me before I pressed record. I'm just kidding. But this isn't the only reason why we're here in New York City.
Yeah.
You're here because of the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What an incredible experience U.S. Open is. I've played tennis for like 10 plus years. So for them to invite me to an amazing, incredible match, especially the number one like person in the world right now. I got to see him last night, Carlos Alcaraz. It was incredible. Like, it's just such a different energy when you're there in person. And so, yeah, just so much fun. But I love our New York little adventures. Every time we're in New York together, we do fun things. Like, what do you have going on this trip?
Well, you already know why I'm in New York City.
I do. I just want you to tell our listeners, baby.
So I actually came for New York Fashion Week, but I also came to visit a boy. It's a little New York City guy.
I think they know. If they've been listening to our episodes, they know about New York City boy.
So this trip is half and half. I'm going to go to some of the New York Fashion Week events and then also spend time with him and just to see like where it can go.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I'm a little bit nervous because I don't think he knows I have IBS. And
usually that's like the first thing you ever disclose to somebody.
Okay, wait. Can I? Ooh. So I was trying to talk about poop with him and he was just like, I don't like talking about that stuff. And I was like, is that a red flag? Like, am I the red flag or are you the red flag?
He's going to have to get comfortable talking about poop with you.
That's the first time I've had a guy I'm dating say that to me. Because I feel like with all my past boyfriends, like it was just like a very, like I would use it, like I would talk about it as like a joke.
Yeah.
Or just like openly.
Whatever. Like yeah.
reference, like yeah. me using You're kind the of bathroom. Like I wasn't just like openly talking about it. I wasn't like.
Hey, I yeah. love poop.
I was just like referencing like, oh, I had a stomach ache and I was about to say like, oh, it was something like bowel movement related. And he's like, oh, no, I don't like talking about that stuff.
Did you use the word bowel? I hate that word.
I did. I was
moist
just like,
and bowel.
Those are my two most used words in my vocabulary. But anyways, I started to talk about it and he was like, yeah, I don't like talking about that stuff. And I was like, what?
You're like, that's half my life.
And I felt awkward. I was like, I actually felt uncomfortable. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think this is going to work out because I talk about it all the time, like with my girlfriends, not really with my family, but like with my girlfriends, with like with you so particularly, because I'm always running to the bathroom before we, you know, press record. Mm-hmm. And like all my past boyfriends, we would just like, not like, we would just like reference it. I don't know. Like we would just be like, for example, Shane, when we had to share that hotel room in Mexico for our, like for our post-pods honeymoon, I was like, hey, I'm going to ruin the toilet, turn the TV on loud or leave the hotel room.
Like, yeah, you had, like it was easy. It's a part of life, yeah. You know? Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't a huge, like, I don't like talking about that stuff. But, like,
really?
With
we
you.
We talk about it all the time.
Well, yeah, with you, because I'm just like, it's easy now because you bring it up so often. I can't be like, really, I don't want to discuss this. But it's half our conversations.
But, like, when I'm
it's
running.
It's not a bad thing.
When I'm, like, running to the bathroom, like, what do you want me to say?
What I'm trying to tell you is originally I don't like talking about it, right? So maybe with this person, you just have to expose it more to him and then he'll get comfortable.
Or I respect his boundaries, but I'm really bad at that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out. you can't. Yeah, so you're going to have to.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think this is going to go anywhere. Like my relationship with him.
It's not going to go to shit, literally. Get it? I'm so funny.
Yeah, it's literally going to go to shit.
Oh, no. I think you got to just ease him into it. Like maybe don't use the words bowel. Maybe just be like,
what else do I use it when my stomach is literally fucking talking? And
just say, I have to use the bathroom. I have to go. Like, use like, don't use like trigger words to poop.
Yeah. So anyways, I'll keep you guys updated. I'm sure that he will dump me after this weekend.
So Natalie's weekend consists of New York Fashion Week events and poop conversations.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And a little bit of love sprinkled in there.
Yeah. So I'll let you know how it goes. I'm not hopeful, but, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Honestly, I'm going to skip out on all the New York Fashion Week events this weekend. I'm so tired. I miss my bed. I've been traveling for the last like 3.5 weeks. I'm like ready to be at home.
Yeah.
Chilling.
And quite honestly, I think that sometimes it could be overrated. I think a lot of people go to just like be seen and not because they're like really into fashion. I think there's one event I really want to go to because I really like the brand. They make a lot of like the suits that I wear.
Ooh, I love
and you
that.
Know, I'm a big suits girl.
Oh,
so,
same girly.
But I just want to see that like
retweet.
I just want to see what's new. But beyond that, I feel like the other ones don't really like. I'm not really like interested, but I think it's still really fun that we get those opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in the mindset of I don't want to be seen. I'm just like, oh, I just want to like go home. But wait, so have you watched the new Love is Blind trailer?
For season 5?
Yeah, for season 5.
I just watched it today.
Same.
What are your thoughts?
Here's my thing. With new casts of like any show that I watch, it takes me a little bit of time to warm up to them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So I watched it 5 times.
You did?
Yeah. Because I'm like, okay, let me like get like the feel for it. It feels like, I mean, trailers are always this. They're always drama filled. There's like, you know, very crazy things happening. I'm trying to put it all together. I'm like, what is going on? Like, who's talking to who? But it looks exciting. I don't know. I'm excited for it. We'll see what happens.
For me, when I first watched it, I didn't really get any, like, feelings from it. Like, when I watched ours, it, like, evoked. I don't know if if it's because I was
I was just gonna say we were on it.
Like,
that's
the way
why.
Like the song and the trailer was made and evoked like some sort of like emotion feeling. For me. But mm-hmm. the same thing with season 3 and 4. It's like season 3 was more like a glammy vibe, and mm-hmm. I felt like, wow, this is really just like,
yeah,
it's gonna be like, you could feel it's gonna be a crazy season. Mm-hmm. Same with 4, I felt like more like there's more like
attached.
Yeah, like there was like, you come off watching the trailer and be like, yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way with seeing season 5's trailer. I feel like it was just kind of like
all
put
over
together.
The place.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great point. I also think, like, is it because, you know, when we were on season 2, 3, and 4 kind of hit like close to home still, you know, because we were still fresh off the feelings of the show. And like, as more seasons come out, are we becoming more like desensitized to it kind of? I don't know. That could be a reason. I don't know. You're right, though. It, like, didn't. That's why I watched it 5 times.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to feel something, you know? But, again, takes me a minute to warm up.
Yeah. I'm curious to see who is on the cast. I kind of have an idea. People are predicting who's on the cast based on this Variety article that released, mm-hmm. like, the entire cast. But they only put the social media handles for 5 men and 5 women.
Okay.
So people are thinking... The people with the social media handles mm-hmm. in that Variety article or that Variety cast release
yeah.
are the people who are going to be part of the main cast.
Oh, so it's kind of a giveaway.
Yeah. Yeah. So someone sent that to our DMs on Out of the Pods. And so
mm-hmm.
it kind of just like, I was like, oh, these are going to be the people yeah. like I need to watch out for yeah. in the trailer.
Yeah. Even the trailer, it's so like you can see like kind of faces or like by hair color, you can see like who's getting engaged, who gets down on one knee, you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
like, who makes it to the wedding scenes. So you kind of have, like, small telltales of it. But, yeah, let's see what this cast is going to...
It doesn't seem like the cast is very diverse, though. Mm-hmm. If we're going off of the Variety article and the people with social media handles are, like, mm-hmm. the main cast members, you know, I think that this is probably going to be the least diverse.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be the least diverse Love is Blind cast, which is kind of disappointing. Like, I kind of get it because you can't, like, force people to, like, get together.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of out of the control of the producers to, you know, like...
Wait, do we know what season this is? Or do we know what city this is?
Yeah, it's Houston.
Oh, Houston, thank yeah. you. Because I was going off of diversity, like, based on the location of the season. Mm, you know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know, you never know, like, who applies, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the broader cast is pretty diverse, but I think the people who got engaged aren't. But it made me think about, like, for season 4, how they, like, cut all the Asian women
yeah.
who, like, got engaged. Yeah. And I was like, what the heck? So I hope they didn't do it like that this time. But still, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I know we said on the podcast previously how, like, as there's more seasons, people do it for, like, I don't want to say, like, disingenuous reasons, but less people, I feel like, are going to do it
yeah,
for,
there's
like,
more factors into yeah. it than just love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, if we'll kind of see that with this cast.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Stay All tuned right. for us, right?
But enough about Love is Blind, because we are talking about The Ultimatum Season 2.
Woo! I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of... You guys, if you saw my notes, they're like 5 pages long.
Okay, well, that's great that you have a lot of thoughts, because I have like very little thoughts.
Really?
Yeah, I just... So Deep D and I just watched episodes 1 through 5, so we're yeah. only recapping those episodes, and we haven't seen past those episodes either, so we yeah. don't know what happens. Our like thoughts may change
mm-hmm, absolutely.
In next week's episode. But... For the first 5, I thought it was kind of boring.
Really? Okay, I took a new perspective to looking at this, and I found it really interesting now, because previously I used to look at The Ultimatum and be like, I want like married couples to come out of it, or I want engaged couples to come out of it, like successful relationships. But I feel like I took a step back and thought about what the show is really about, and it's a learning process, you know? And so
yeah.
now that I like look at it from that perspective, I feel like I'm just looking at the cast differently and what they're going through and their emotions differently now. So I don't know why, but I think it's like hitting home for me a little bit more.
Okay, I yeah. get that. But here's the thing. I don't think anyone's really taking the experiment like that seriously, minus one or two people.
What do you mean by that? And who? I want to know.
So, okay. So the couples that match up after the choice,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't think any of them are real.
Okay.
I think the only person that it might be real for is Trey, mm-hmm. whose original partner is Raya.
Raya.
Mm-hmm. And he's now partnered with Ryan.
Okay.
But beyond that, I think the other couples are just like they're not feeling their new partners.
Okay. Okay. I love that you said that. Here's my take on it. These couples are coming into the experiment being together for years, right? Yeah. So they have so much history and love there, and obviously issues as well. So the way I look at it, the new couples that are formed, it's going to be so hard for them to adjust to a new partner, live with them, all of these things. And also in that process, they're comparing it to their old partners, right? Yeah. So I look at it now where previous season, I was like, oh, I want these new matches to be successful. But in reality, all of these matches are supposed to teach you about your existing partner and not necessarily it be about falling in love with this new person. Because how can you really do that in such a quick manner? You know what I mean?
So okay, you're right.
Yeah. So now that I'm looking at them, I'm like, whoa. Okay, I feel like each couple, those are what my notes are about, each couple is literally learning so much from their new partner of what they like, what they don't like, you know?
Wow, you are a very, like, you're a very, what is the word? Like, when you watch reality TV, you see it so differently. Me, I'm like, I'm just like a trashy reality TV viewer. Like, I just take it for what it is. No, except for Love is Blind, that where I'm like, okay, I know some of the behind the scenes shit. So, like, you could, and, you know, we've met some of the cast, so we could, like, share a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But for The Ultimatum, I just kind of took it, like, very surface level. And I was like, oh, this is kind of, like, not very exciting. I think I'm also comparing it to season one, where there was so much drama and such, like, out there personalities.
Yeah.
And for this season, I think beyond Lisa, who left early because she found out she was pregnant, I think everyone else is kind of, like, boring.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in, like, a bad or good way. I just mean, like, they're not, like, great reality TV personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, like, me. Like, I know that I have, like, a really boring personality that probably...
No, you don't.
And it was exemplified on our season, for sure, 100%. But... You know, no. It's just like the truth of it. It kind of made for boring TV for me.
Yeah, honestly, you're okay. Here's my weirdly, when I first started watching it, I couldn't get through episode one because I was like, why am I struggling getting through this? And I turned it off multiple times and I was like, well, this is difficult for me. But because we were recapping, I was like, let's go deep. So you gotta fucking listen to this. You gotta watch it. I don't know if I was just in an emotional state of mind after the US Open, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna like really watch it. And I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts. I feel like all of these couples are really have a lot of emotional growth. And I think they're learning a lot from each other, which is kind of fun. But can we really quickly talk about Lisa and Brian?
Yes. Can we?
That's the only reason I went to episode two.
I know. Look, you know, the producers were pissed when Lisa found out she was pregnant and they had to leave the experiment because they were... The couple ready to bring the drama.
100%.
Like, Lisa getting mad at Brian for talking to Raya. That was kind of crazy how she went off. I'm not going to lie.
It was very mean.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're in a high emotional state of mind and you're just like, zero fucks are given. But, like, there's cameras rolling. Like, be aware. But, like, do I chalk it up to her, like, pregnancy, like, hormones?
See, I don't. Because... No. I don't know. I don't think pregnancy, like, makes you mean. Like, how she was talking about Raya was, like, pretty messed up.
I agree.
Like, when she was like, that Hooters girl, like, Brian, I wouldn't have an issue if you, like, matched up with Roxanne because she could challenge you. And, like, how is Raya going to challenge you? I was like, what? You don't even know this girl.
Exactly. Exactly. And just because you have a certain profession doesn't mean you don't have a lot of depth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot. I was like, oh my God, what is happening? But can I tell you, I was also mad that they left because if they were in the cast still, if they stayed, the choice, I feel like, would be so different because what happens if... Because Raya was connecting with Brian as well, right? So yeah. I was like, what would have happened? Now all the couples just, like, swapped.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because I feel like Brian was really feeling Raya.
Yeah.
That he would have absolutely chose her during the choice.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, that didn't happen.
Right. So, like, how would that have, like, kind of mixed things up a little bit?
So I don't know if you felt this. Do you think it was like very convenient that she found out she was pregnant during filming?
Yeah, I did. I was like, my thoughts. I couldn't even form thoughts because I was just like, how did this happen? Like, why are you in this situation? You know what I mean? And yeah, it was kind of really impeccable timing because she's like, absolutely not with this other girl.
Yeah, because I feel like Lisa was really struggling with the entire experiment.
She's like, going to leave.
Yeah. So I don't know. And like Brian wanted to continue on with the experiment. So for her to say, you know, she's pregnant, happy for them though. Mm-hmm. But maybe we're looking too much into it. But I was like, oh, it kind of like, I don't know, kind of like worked out because there's no way Lisa would have survived this experiment.
I agree. And I thought also it was kind of odd that they didn't come to the choice and just talk to the rest of the cast and be like, hey, like we're pregnant.
Yeah.
They just chose to leave and just kind of have like a solo scene together. And I thought that was like, oh, okay. I just was hoping they'd come, you know?
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Okay, quick question for you. Why didn't Vanessa come?
Oh, yeah.
To the choice.
I noticed that.
Vanessa Lachey.
Yeah.
Like, Nick was just like alone. So I was like, what happened?
Soloing it up. Maybe Vanessa's pregnant. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. That was a kid. I was a joke. I don't know why she wasn't there. I thought maybe she was filming for her new show, like the NCIS Hawaii.
Going on for a while, right?
Yeah. So maybe there was like a schedule conflict, but I have no idea. I'm not sure why.
I was curious. I was wondering, I don't know when they filmed this season of The Ultimatum, but yeah. I was wondering if it coincided with the backlash from the live reunion and she was just like over it.
Yeah, but she was at the beginning scenes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know, man. I have no idea what happened though.
Yeah, but still really happy for Lisa and Brian.
Yeah.
I know, like Brian says, like a baby doesn't fix your problems.
That's one thing, yeah.
But I feel like I forgot why Lisa gave Brian the choice. Do you remember?
Brian just didn't want to.
Like he felt like he wasn't like financially ready, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The fight that Lisa and Brian had about Raya, when Lisa like hit his face or like touched his face, that was shocking to me. I don't know.
It was a lot.
I did see some comments in our DMs about like, can you talk about that? Like, was that domestic violence? And I want to say like, yeah, it was.
Mm.
Like someone DM'd us being like, that was really irresponsible that the production team put that scene in. But I don't think it was. I think that like those types of actions shouldn't be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Like if people do them, then like it should be shown for the most part, in my opinion. So they could be told like that was wrong.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the best kind of like feedback you get when you do something stupid on a TV show and you've got like millions, not millions, but like people telling you like, hey, that was not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if my thought process is right or wrong in this because I absolutely do not think like physical altercations or physical violence in any way is like good. But in that incident isolated alone, I feel like she just like kind of pushed him. It was aggressive for sure. But I think like if it like snowballs into more things and it's very frequent, I think it becomes a problem for sure.
In my point of view, it wasn't okay that she did that. Like you should never put your hands on a partner.
Yeah.
I didn't like, but I don't have the issue that it showed on TV as like some people do. Like people are like, that should have never showed. I actually think it should have, but I don't like the women at The Choice talking about it and kind of like making it seem like it wasn't a big deal of what Lisa did. I don't know if they know that Lisa like pushed or like kind of, I don't know how to explain what
like kind
did.
Of shoved his face.
Yeah,
I guess.
Like, I don't know if they know that, but I don't like how it was kind of like they were kind of excusing it a little
like
bit.
Downplayed
yeah,
it a little.
So yeah. That was where, those are the types of things where I was like, well, like that should never be seen as okay. So to, like, don't downplay it.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think it was definitely awkward, and it shows like a part of the relationship that like unfortunately sucks, because I would hate to have it be highlighted, but I think it's yeah. an important lesson. So I totally get that.
I need to check out their Instagram. I'm curious to see like,
yeah, we love a Netflix baby.
Do we?
Yeah. We're big on Netflix.
But
movies.
I am very happy for them. I feel like the way Brian responded when Lisa told him that she was pregnant was just like very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And just like very mature of him. I mean, it was definitely, it seems like it was a surprise to both of them. So Speaking about Raya, though, were you shocked that she matched with James at The Choice?
Yes. Honestly,
I was too.
I thought that she was, I remember there was a scene when they were dating. And Raya was going to, like, she had a conversation with James. I don't know. It felt like a backup conversation because, I don't know, things were, like, in turmoil with Brian. And she's like, I could see us living together, don't you? Like, that kind of thing. It was, like, a little seed planted. But afterwards, I was like, oh, she actually picked him. Because who else was she going to pick? After Brian left, there was no one else that she really connected with. But I was like, oh, this is going to be an interesting. I didn't think that they were compatible.
Did James pick Raya, though?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't the other way around, though, was it?
They both have to pick each other.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was that. Yeah, I didn't really see a lot of chemistry with that couple. I feel like that one was like a little bit forced because Ryan and Trey chose each other. Mm-hmm. I think they had a stronger connection than Raya and James.
Yeah.
I think you can't really tell by the show, but that's just like my thought based on how like these relationships progressed when they moved in together and mm-hmm. became like a married couple.
Yeah.
But I was really shocked. You know that phone call that James has with his friend?
Yes.
I think after the first night with Raya or during the first night with Raya
mm-hmm.
Living together, you could tell like once that phone call played, I was like, there's no way him and
He's
Raya are going to. Yeah. Like he is all about Ryan. Like 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, as soon as he walked into that apartment with Raya, he knew that he had fucked up. Because he was like, remember at The Choice, he was just like, or he said he was retrospecting about The Choice. And he was like, wow, the fact that Trey was saying all these positive things about Ryan and I lacked to see it. I think he like really was like, oh, fuck, like I'm about to lose her. Like, will I lose her? Oh, man, that was tough. Poor James. Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's a couple that I don't really believe. I know editors were trying their hardest to make it sound like, you know, these couples, all of them really were more romantic than I actually think that they were in real life. I mean, I was thinking back to a conversation between James and Raya, how they talk about how foreplay is more than like, you know, making out. And I think the editors are trying to make it into like a more romantic conversation. But I really think it was just like a dead combo.
Yeah, especially because they're like, here's all these sex cards. Like, yeah. Say them out loud and whatever. But honestly, after that one scene, I was like, there's some tension here. And I don't think it's going to work out at
when
all.
When Raya's talking about her needing more physical affection.
Yes, I felt awkward watching it.
Yeah.
So I could only imagine the energy in that room being like so much tension. Because I get what James is saying. Like, if you don't want to have that physical aspect to it, it's hard. Or I guess I related more to Raya in that instance.
Yeah.
Because she was saying how, like, this is not really a marriage. But in reality, like, how do you expect it to be? Like, do you want to be fucking? Like, what do you think is intimacy, I guess? You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, it doesn't have to be physical, but they're not connecting on any other level.
Yeah. Well, I think to her point, she was like, we don't need to be fucking. Like, she was like, I just want to, like, hold your hand. I want to hug. So I was like, I kind of get it. But I also understand, like, James' point of view. Like, if you don't romantically like someone, because it sounds like he doesn't,
no.
Like, it's hard to, like, do those types of things without feeling inauthentic.
Yeah, 100%.
So I get where she's coming from of like, this is the experiment. Like, mm-hmm. let's really act like we're a couple. Like, this is the whole thing. And I also understand that James can't get there.
No, 100%. And also after having that conversation, like, imagine trying to be intimate after that. Like, trying to hold, like, it would just feel so awkward and forced. Like, I just, I wasn't about it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I love Ryan. I'm not going to lie. She is like a sweetheart. So I was like, look, I get it. Look, if I was dating Ryan, yeah, it'd be really hard to like not be thinking of her and to like see another woman. I was like, I get it.
I 100% get it. Like I think for James, he found out that he is way more in love with Ryan than he like understood. And sometimes I really feel like you have to lose somebody or have the feeling of like actually losing them to understand that like they don't want to ever let go.
Yeah.
But you know what I found really interesting is when James goes into at the guys' night, remember when James is like, there's some things that I haven't told Ryan yet. They, mind you, they've been dating for 6 years now.
Seven.
And they're like, oh, there's like something I haven't told her, and that's why I can't emotionally connect with her completely. And I'm like, there's got to be some trauma that he hasn't exposed to her.
Okay, he made it so dramatic. Well, we do know that he cheated on her, so I wonder if it's that. But he says that he also hasn't told Raya about it, and he did tell Raya that he cheated on Ryan at some point.
Right.
So I don't think it's that.
No, it's something to do with his family, he said. Like, he said he went through something with his mom and dad.
Oh, I didn't catch that part. I literally thought, I was like, did you murder someone, dude? Like, what's going on?
No, I think it's like, I don't know, but I'm really excited to find out. I had to stop myself at episode 5, but I was like, what is going on with James?
I know. I really liked that conversation between James and Trey. I feel like Trey was really mature during it. Like, mm-hmm. he was, like, I liked how he did reveal, like, he developed feelings for Ryan, mm-hmm. but I also liked where he was telling James, like, you know, this is what Ryan says, like, what the issue in your relationship is, as if he, like, wants the best for Ryan.
Yes.
Like, it was very, like, mature. Like, they're just trying to help each other out type of thing.
Yes.
And I loved that because you know that actual feelings are involved, especially on Trey's side, mm-hmm. when it comes to Ryan. So I think that was more of, like, a very, like, authentic conversation than the other ones with the guys.
Yeah, but, okay, Natalie, that is exactly when I decided that this show was more about learning about the existing relationships already than it is mm-hmm. about forming the new ones, because especially that conversation, I thought it was so authentic and sweet that I was like, oh, like, he's really giving him advice on how to move forward and how to make their relationship so much stronger, and like, especially if it's going to lead to a marriage, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I think Trey can sense that Ryan is not like
into him
in like that, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows that it's not going to go anywhere. I thought it was really sweet that he confessed his feelings, though.
I did too.
I think Trey's going to end it with Raya for sure.
We'll talk about predictions at the end.
Yeah.
That's my
okay,
thought
I'm gonna
too.
Save it.
Yeah. But I really liked that conversation. That made me like Trey a lot. But James kind of like creeped me out with there's things I've done. I was like, what? Like, what?
Yeah, I really wanted to know. I was like, wait, what is going on with him? He seems like he's having a lot of emotional turmoil.
Okay,
like,
you want to, let's take guesses. Maybe he like cheated with like,
what are you about
like
to say?
Her mom?
Absolutely not.
I don't know. It sounds like really intense.
I think it's not the cheating thing. I think Ryan knows about the cheating. So it's got to be something more complicated. I think it has to do with some sort of family trauma from childhood.
Mm. Okay.
Because I feel like that's the only thing, like something so like sad. I hope it's not something really sad. I actually like James. He's a little sweetie. He's figuring it out. I think Ryan does deserve better, though.
I have no feelings about James. Like, I'm very neutral about
really?
Him. Yeah. Like, I don't root for him, but I don't also, like, I'm not rooting for him, and I don't like him, but I don't dislike him. So mm-hmm. let's see if that changes in the next sets of episodes. But Trey and Ryan, you're right, very, very cute. I feel like Trey just doing those small things for Ryan. So Ryan says like, oh, he went to go get my car cleaned, like things like that. I feel like he definitely has like a lot of affection for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she responds to him, especially when he said like, oh, I'm developing feelings for you, you could tell like she's
not into it.
Yeah.
I got the same vibe, like, especially on that boat, right, where he was, like, expressing his love.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, like, I feel like I'm learning a lot from you. I don't know exactly what she said, but, yeah, I didn't get the vibe that she was into it.
Like, I feel like if she liked him back, she would be like, I like you, too, or I'm developing feelings for you, too. But instead she says, like, oh, we have, like, a deep bond. Like, she...
And the bond is growing deeper.
Yeah, like she says everything going around saying like...
The exact words. Yeah. I totally got that too. And honestly, what I do like about both of these people is that they are both givers. And I think what they're learning from each other is the fact that like they keep emptying their cups to people who just take, take, take. And both of them, since they're like giving affection to each other in the small things, I think like that's what's missing in their other relationships. So hopefully they'll take that back and like, you know, give it to their partners and like be more selfish a little bit.
You know who else I really liked is Kat.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. But I feel so bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my gosh, like the whole... I don't know. I feel like Antonio was, again, that match was just because they're probably only the two left over and they had a match. And I feel like Antonio does not let her speak. Like, every time there's a scene with the two of them, Kat and Antonio, it's Antonio just like being like, I'm a piece of shit and I'm not good enough and blah, blah, blah. And here's me venting. And Kat's like, yes. Like, okay, he never gives her the chance to talk.
I got the same vibe. Honestly, in my notes, I don't have much about Kat at all because I don't know Kat. I don't know Kat at all. Like, I just, the only thing I know about her is that she's quiet and she's shy and she's a little bit submissive, I guess, because that's what Alex likes.
I do like Kat in the way that when she does talk, she's very, like, concise.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you could tell she's, like, a really good listener.
Yeah.
And the things she says, like, she puts a lot of thought into the things that she says.
Right. Right.
Like, especially when she... was trying to kind of like defend Antonio when in her conversation with Roxanne.
Yes, at the girls'
night. You could just tell she's like very thoughtful in the things that she says.
And she was sure not to bash Alex.
Yes.
I really got that vibe. She was like, I'm not going to sit here and bash him like you are right now. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Respect.
So, but it sucks though, because I feel like with every scene with Antonio, obviously you could tell there's like no chemistry there. They're kind of in this like fake relationship. I'm sure they sleep in like different rooms or something, but it's always about Antonio and like, you know, his issues and his relationship with Roxanne.
Antonio and Roxanne are very interesting to me because obviously Roxanne is like the aggressive, not aggressive, she's just like this like dominant personality.
Yeah.
And I think Antonio deep down like also has that side to him, but it's been so suppressed by Roxanne that like he literally is just so submissive to her. I don't know.
Well, Kat says it. She's like, I think that he deserves more credit than he gives himself.
Yeah.
But I think probably he's been like emasculated and probably belittled by Roxanne for so long. I think that Roxanne has made Alex feel like he's not good enough and that he's really thinks that about himself now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he says like at the guys' night, like, oh, like he's talking about like one of his like faults, but the way he talks about it, it's like someone definitely told you that and you're just like regurgitating what you've heard.
He's and believing it.
Yeah.
But the problem with Antonio is that he doesn't change his actions to like make himself feel better. Like, remember when Roxanne's like, oh, like, he just, like, games a lot and just, like, doesn't really do much? I feel like for Antonio, he's scared to leave Roxanne because maybe Roxanne provides him the stability that he's looking for in himself, you know? Like, because what are you doing then?
And I feel like he's also, like, dependent on her.
Exactly.
Because she has made him feel like he's just not good enough. So he's probably like, you know, she's out of my league. She has a stability that I want or am looking for. And like, I'm just not good enough. Like, if I'm not with Roxanne, like, I'm not good enough for like someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why he's always so anxious about their relationship. Oh, man. That it's a lot. And I think Roxanne puts up with Antonio and his like laziness or like his ability to not do much. I don't know how to put it exactly.
Yeah.
But like she puts up with it because she needs somebody who's a little bit more submissive, because you start to see it in the later episodes with her relationship with Alex, which I was so surprised about. Were you surprised at the end of these five episodes?
Yes, because I thought that her and Alex maybe had the strongest connection.
Same.
And then all of a sudden on episode five, they're talking shit about each other to...
Mad shit.
To each other's exes or like respective partners that they arrived with. So I was like, what is going on?
I thought
you guys were like a great match. You guys are talking about like, oh, like... We're so similar. Like, he's what I wanted a guy. Like, that's what Roxanne is saying about Alex. And then all of a sudden she's telling Kat, like, oh, yeah, there's some red flags. Like, he lies a lot.
Yeah.
White lies.
Yes. Like, what is happening? First of all, I agree with you. I thought it was the strongest connection because they also go into in episode five, like, the meeting their parents.
Yeah.
Did that happen last season? I don't even know if that happened.
No, it did. Definitely.
It did? Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe I just tuned it out. But anyways, that was wild to me. And I actually like the parents' advice because they can, like, have an outside perspective, whatever. But it seemed like they had the strongest connection ever. They were like, oh, my God, similarities. We are so strong, blah, blah, blah. But I knew it was going to blow up at some point because when you have two strong people in the same vicinity, it's hard to maintain, like, dominance, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to, like, be submissive? And so you can't have two dominant people, I just feel like.
Do you think, though, Alex is that similar to Roxanne? I know that they, you know, are both very, like, money-focused and have, like, entrepreneurial spirit.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is me just pulling this out of my ass, actually. I'm just, like, surmising at this point. I feel like Alex is someone, or reminds me of someone I know, who kind of, like, changes their personality to fit the expectation or who the other person wants them to be.
That's interesting.
Because, like, Roxanne even says this, too. Like, you know, Alex says like he works long hours, but she's like he naps during the day, so he like isn't working long hours. So I'm like, is Alex this like hardworking person, or like is this like business focused person that Roxanne, that he's making himself out to be, or is it more so just for Roxanne?
Yeah, honestly, that's a fair point. I think I changed my mind about Alex when I got to episode five towards the end there when Roxanne started talking shit.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, why is she? And Alex did too. Alex called Roxanne mean.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, where did that come from? But anyways, but with Alex, when Roxanne was saying those things, I kind of looked at it and I was like, oh, like just because he started a company doesn't mean one that it's successful. I don't know how many hours he puts into it, because sometimes when people are in that state, like, they kind of put up this front, like they're always busy, like doing things. And that's when Kat validated that. I was like, oh, like, I feel like maybe it's a little bit of a front, like on Alex's part, that he is pretending to be this like, oh, my gosh, I'm so busy. I'm so entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial.
And, you know, I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, it's a front.
Yeah. And my thing about Alex, and like Kat and Roxanne are talking about it in their conversation, is it's all like they said, like he doesn't think he could do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't really like think
Listen.
He has faults.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get that vibe. Like I think he thinks he's better than Kat.
I think so too.
Actually, I think Roxanne thinks that too about Antonio, but like it's those personalities where it's like they think that they're above their partners, and I hate those personalities.
Dude, you're so right. And like, it's so funny that those are the two people that swapped, because it's kind of like they each get a taste of their own medicine, if that makes sense. Because they're both battling to see like, why are you trying to fight with me? Am I the better like business person? Are you like, it's just a lot. I'm like, ooh.
I know.
Man.
But going back to Alex, his conversation with Antonio, how freaking awkward was that?
That was really awkward.
And I'm sorry, but
talk shit to my face, is what he says.
I feel like there was more to that conversation. It was just like edited in. But the fact he said it, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Antonio, like, was just so dismissive of what Alex said was a little bit, like, weird. I was like, are you really lacking that, you know, awareness of, like, what your partner thinks of you? Like, it's very clear Roxanne does not respect Antonio.
Yeah.
Like, I bet he watched these episodes and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what he expected Alex to say more of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, I want details. Give, like, talk shit to my face. And I was just like, I'm a little confused on what Antonio's looking for. Like, does he want, like, specific things that Roxanne has said about him? Like, I don't know.
Literally, this is what happened. Antonio says to Alex, be direct with me. Alex is direct with him and says, she doesn't respect you.
He's like, say more.
And then no. And then Antonio goes, you're lying. You're just trying to ruin my relationship. I was like, what do you want?
Yeah, no, that was interesting. Man. Okay, you don't think that there's any chance in this world that Alex is trying to get Roxanne, right? Like, that he would ever say something just to make Antonio think it's not going to work out.
No, I think based on what Roxanne was telling Kat and what Alex was telling Antonio, I think that behind the scenes they weren't like working out.
Yeah. Yeah, there seems to be some turmoil there. Yeah, there's a lot of pent-up tension.
I think, I mean,
oh man, I don't know.
I don't know, but Antonio makes it really hard for anyone to like converse with him and be truthful about it. I was like, Antonio, if you wanted the truth, don't be so freaking aggressive in your conversation with Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you either want the truth or you don't. Don't be so like, I don't know. Here's my thing. Antonio and Roxanne confuse me. They're both just, I just don't know. Like, Antonio confuses me in terms of like the way he views himself, but also how he like puts Roxanne on a pedestal and like allows him to be treated the way he is by her. And then Roxanne confuses me because if you are talking so much shit about your partner, especially in front of the cameras, like, what are you doing in a relationship with them?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, First of all, I'm very confused by that relationship.
I love the way you say pedestal.
What is it?
I say pedestal.
I feel like you're pronouncing it the right way.
I know, but I don't want to correct you because I like it. Stool, again, talking about stool. But I, okay, truly, I think this is where I stand with Antonio and Roxanne.
Okay.
I think Roxanne is a dominant personality. She does not want another dominant type in her life. Like, as much as she wants to pretend like she loves Alex and his, like, I love your, like, whatever. I don't think that she likes that. I think in reality, I think she likes the fact that Antonio doesn't have a lot going on. I think she likes him to be submissive to her. And I think that's why they're together. Because if she truly valued what Alex was bringing to the table about all of this entrepreneurial whatever, then she would have left Antonio so long ago. She would not have put up with it. But she likes the fact that she can be dominant over him. I mean, she even says it when she's talking to her parents. You know me, Dad. I don't know. I don't do well with other dominant personalities.
Yeah.
So I think that's like kind of where they stand. Same with Alex and Kat. That's the same energy.
That's true. It just sucks for like the...
For Kat and Antonio.
Yeah.
Fucking
sucks. Like you've got partners who really don't like respect what you bring to the table besides your quote unquote submissive personalities. Speaking about Roxanne, though, can we talk about how awkward it was when she was talking about how like Alex would sleep with like would want to sleep with her and hook up with her in front of Kat? I was like, dude, like, read the room.
Yeah, honestly, can I just at the beginning when I saw the girls' night and the guys' night thing happening, I was like, this is so cruel. Like,
I know.
It's so cruel of them to do this. But I understood later, like, okay, this is like valuable. They have a lot to talk about and to learn from each other. But that scene, can I just commend Kat? Because I could literally see in her face how like hurt she looked. But she just put up with it and she was like, yeah, this is like, oh, poor Kat. I love Kat.
I think it just shows that Roxanne is just inconsiderate. She kind of like is in her own little world. I don't know. I'm not loving Roxanne or Antonio in these episodes.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it changes. But I think right now, like, Roxanne's really just like pissing me off. I think she's coming off very like she thinks so highly of herself.
Entitled, yeah.
Just everything is just the vibes are off. The other person that I'm not really loving is Alex. I think that he just also thinks very highly of himself.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing his dynamic with Kat when they move in together. Yes.
I love that you said that because I also agree. I think that Roxanne and Alex really are pretentious and they think so, like you said, so highly of each other, of themselves. And so I think that they're getting a taste of their own medicine, putting those two together, and they're going to value and respect their partners when they do the swap 100% because they're going to be like, oh my God, I truly appreciate you. You're not combative. You are like so like willing to like help me with my needs, all this stuff. Like, I think they're just
good. Yeah, like, but a better personality fit.
Yes, but I do think that Kat and Antonio are gonna grow some balls, and they're gonna be like, I'm not putting up with this shit anymore. So it's gonna, tables are gonna be turned, baby.
No, I hope that's what happens specifically for Kat.
Yeah,
I was like, you know what, you are so nice, you are so pretty, don't let this man make it seem like he is the better one in that relationship.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Anyways, predictions though on these couples, like, who do you think is going to make it at the end, get engaged? What do you think is going to happen?
I think that Antonio is too scared to leave Roxanne, and I think Roxanne's going to get sick of Alex. So when they do the swap, I feel like Antonio is going to propose.
Okay.
I don't know if Alex is, or I don't know if Roxanne is going to say yes or no, because she really is not into marriage with Antonio. She's into marriage, but not with Antonio.
I think that they'll still be together, though, at the reunion.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think they're going to be working on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a feeling Ryan and James are going to get engaged. I think you could tell James is starting to, like, appreciate Ryan more because Trey likes Ryan. And so I think they will definitely get engaged at the end.
Yeah. I concur. I think James is definitely going to propose, but I think Ryan is really going to think about it, because the way Trey is so, like, lovable and just gives so much, I think she's going to expect that from James. And hopefully she'll ask that of him during the swap. So I do hope that they make it, because they've been together a while. And
yeah.
Who else?
Ryan, Trey.
Ryan and Trey are not going to make it.
That's what I think,
absolutely
too.
Absolutely not. They're not making
you
it.
You know, James said it best in his conversation with Trey. He's like, I don't think Raya is, like, ready for marriage. Like, yeah. I think you need to explore other potential opportunities, which was, like, crazy for James to tell that to Trey.
Yeah.
So I don't really see it on, like, the show where she's not ready for marriage, but clearly there's things happening where James thinks that. So I think that they won't actually make it. I think it's like foreshadowing something.
Yeah, I agree. And also with Alex and Kat, I think that Kat deserves more.
Same. I do too.
Like, just the way Alex talks about her, I don't think it's like, he just needs to let her go. In my opinion.
But I think knowing Kat's personalities, because I have friends with similar personalities, again, I'm just doing it based on what I'm seeing on the show. I feel like she'll stay.
I know. Because she doesn't realize how good she is. You know? Yeah. Oh, she doesn't realize that she deserves more. And I think Alex is going to just, like... But do you think Alex is going to, like, propose?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
I think after going through that with Roxanne, I think he realizes, like, that Kat is a better fit for his personality. Even if it's not, you know, a good fit on her end, that I think that he will propose.
Ugh, that sucks.
Which she will love, because she's the one who gave the ultimatum. But we'll see.
I've realized one thing. I've realized that sometimes longevity in a relationship is, you know, doesn't make a difference. I've also learned that sometimes love, no matter how much you love that person, compatibility is everything. And I think that's what this show really, like highlights. It's like, it's not about love. It's not about how long you've been together. It's really about those compatibility traits. And so I'm hoping that the right people stay together.
And 100%. I'm just not sure who the right people are right now. You know, like, who are the good couples? It's getting kind of, like, murky in my mind.
Yeah. Well, let's wait. 6 through 10, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. So those were our thoughts on episodes 1 through 5 of The Ultimatum Season 2. Next week, we are recapping episodes 6 through 10, which includes the reunion.
Ooh.
So, we are excited for that. But let us know your thoughts on what you thought about our recap and also these episodes. Feel free to DM us, leave a comment at our Instagram page on Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.